You know how when you watch an ongoing series on television, it always begins with previously on whatever the show is. I just want to bring us back up to speed in case, maybe in case, the scriptures that we have on Sunday aren't the things you think about all week long. There is that possibility. This has been a four-week series involving Jacob and now Jacob's sons. Jacob the deceiver, who in turn was deceived, who wrestled with God all during the night and prevailed and was renamed Israel. And last week, Jacob's sons, threw the baby, the favorite of Jacob, into the dry cistern out in the middle of the desert, plucked him out again, and sold him into slavery. Nice guys. Well, as so happens in life, things didn't work out quite the way anybody expected. Joseph goes to Egypt as a slave, where he continues to have dreams and interpret dreams and do things rather well, I guess, because he rises up through the ranks of that society, and when we see him again today, he is now, I guess, what you could call the vice pharaoh. He's a very important government official in Egypt, and as luck would have it, he's the guy you have to go to if you have a special request of the pharaoh. And as luck would also have it, who arrives in Egypt but his brothers, the ones who have thrown him into the pit years ago and sold him into slavery. And so now Joseph has a decision to make, doesn't he? The brothers have come because there's famine in their land. They're starving. Everybody around them is starving. They need help from the Pharaoh. They don't recognize Joseph when they're brought into his presence, but Joseph recognizes them. He asks questions of them. He wants to know about their father, his father. And he sends them back home to come back again with the father and with Benjamin. The father can't travel, but Benjamin comes back. So they are now reappearing before Joseph, who they do not recognize. And Joseph, as we meet him in today's episode, is about to lose control. He can't stand it any longer.
This is Genesis 45, chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. Since Joseph could no longer control his feelings in front of his servants, he sent them out of the room. When he was alone with his brothers, he told them, "I am Joseph." Then he cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and told him about it in the king's palace. Joseph asked his brother if his father was still alive, but they were too frightened to answer. Joseph told them to come closer to him, and when they did, he said, "Yes, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Don't worry or blame yourselves for what you did. God is the one who sent me ahead of you to save lives. There has already been a famine for 2 years, and for 5 more years no one will plow fields or harvest grain. But God sent me on ahead of you to keep your families alive and to save you in this wonderful way. After all, you weren't really the ones who sent me here. It was God. He made me the highest official in the king's court and placed me over all of Egypt. Now hurry back and tell my father that his son Joseph says, 'God has made me ruler of Egypt. Come here as quickly as you can. You will live near me in the region of Goshen with your children and grandchildren, as well as with your sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else you own. I will take care of you there during the next 5 years of famine. But if you don't come, you and your family and your animals will starve to death. All of you, including my brother Benjamin, can tell by what I have said that I really am Joseph. Tell my father about my great power here in Egypt and about everything you have seen. Get a move on and bring him here.' Joseph and Benjamin hugged each other and started crying. Joseph was still crying as he kissed each of his other brothers. After this, they started talking with Joseph."
Let us pray. We who stand always between paying back and paying forward, turn to you now and wait for the touch of your Spirit, O God. Be with us. Speak to us as only you can, we pray. Amen. Well, you must be exhausted. You must be. Think of the things that you have already decided today. Probably hundreds of things without even thinking about it. Which side of the bed to get out of? What to wear? What to have for breakfast? How much to have for breakfast? How to drive to this place? Where to sit? Who to speak with? What to say? Whether to thumb through the hymnal or just read the bulletin or look at the ceiling or pray before the service started. Right now you're deciding, is this a sermon worth listening to or shall I click off to some other place? Decision after decision after decision after decision. Some you'll say are automatic, and they seem that way, don't they? But they are decisions nevertheless. Some we make with great thought, and some we don't. But with every decision that we make, I would suggest to you, at the risk of oversimplifying, we can make a decision that is oriented towards paying back or paying forward. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to weigh in just a minute. When I use the term paying forward, I don't mean exactly pay it forward. And let me explain the difference. Paying it forward is a wonderful concept, and you may remember the great movie from many years ago now. Might be time to show it again in King Hall. That's when somebody does something good for you, and you turn around and do good for others. That's paying it forward. The pay forward I mean here might come into sharpest focus when somebody has done something not so good to you. And you are in a situation where you get, like Joseph, to do something big in return. So, having said that, I'm going to come down for a minute. And I just want to hear from you. Don't overthink this. No long speeches, please. I'm going to start on this side. When you hear pay back, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
Revenge.
Okay. What else?
Giving.
Okay, paying, returning some, a loan. Interesting. Okay.
Getting even.
Okay. Returning in kind. Ah. Let me do unto you like they did unto me. Okay, you're skipping ahead just a little bit, if you can hang on to that. Okay, pay. Anything else that comes to mind when you think of payback? Pay. Okay, I'm going to come over here for this one. When you think about pay, making a decision that pays forward, what do you think of? Now, Nancy gave an example, perhaps, from last week. Okay. Ah, okay, all right, so that's with payback, with paying back. Waiting and watching to see what happens, because when somebody does something awful, chances are it's going to come back to them somehow. Okay, all right. Pay forward. Talk to me about pay forward.
Forgiveness,
okay.
I have no idea where that's going.
Okay, so paying forward may have to do with giving it your best, even when you don't see in the moment what's going to happen. And then every once in a while you find out, hey, some seeds took root. Right. Good.
Investing.
Okay. Investing. Good word. Anything else that you think of with when the word pay forward?
Paying your quarterly income tax.
Paying in advance. Yes. Paying your quarterly estimated income tax. All right. Being kind, all right? Even when it isn't deserved, perhaps. Okay?
Investing in grandchildren.
Investing in grandchildren, yes. In the future generations and what life will be.
gratefulness, gratitude. Okay, good. Good. Anything else? I'm going back up where I belong. Thank you. It's quite a story of Joseph, isn't it? Quite a situation. I don't think a Hollywood script writer could have done a better job of crafting a scene. My goodness. Imagine that. The ones who sold him into slavery are now standing before him hungry, needy, desperate. They don't even recognize him. Wow! Could he have settled the score big time? He might have even been nice to Benjamin and his dad, but let the other guys just go away and get what they deserved. But he didn't. Joseph chose, in my words, to make a decision that pays forward. It was a decision that had grace in it, that had life in it, that had hope in it. He might have chosen with great justification to make a payback decision, a decision that gave them what they deserved, but that ended things right there. Now, I want to give a disclaimer here before going any further. Forgiveness came up, and forgiveness is a big part, I think, in a life of paying forward. But here's the disclaimer. The danger when we talk about forgiveness or think about forgiveness, the danger in a story like Joseph's, can be this, that we wind up putting the burden on the victim. That the one to whom evil was done might be seen as having the burden of changing the situation. And we need to be careful about that. Paying forward does not mean that we have to accept abuse, that we cannot be angry, that we cannot work for a just resolution of things and a way to turn things around. We do not want to heap guilt on those to whom wrong has been done. It's very important. Joseph's decision was a remarkable one, but precisely because he did not understand himself in those lights. There are many layers to every decision we make. And I want to make a case today for being people who, in following Jesus, after wrestling with God, maybe often through the night, find ways to make decisions that pay forward, that bring life, new life, and hope. You may remember that Jesus had some rather powerful instructions in this regard. What does he tell us to do for our enemies? Pray for them, and before that, love them. And last week, in fact, I did. I don't know if you heard the tone of my voice. I could feel the tone of my voice when I mentioned that batteries had been stolen out of the welcoming wagon. And I said, we have people to pray for. Well, I wasn't feeling very happy about that, about the situation, but I meant it. I meant it. And I did mean it as a pay-forward thing. This week, the bill came in. Yeah, it cost the church something like $500 to replace those two batteries and get them installed. We did some other work that needed to be done and had the annual maintenance, so the whole bill was a lot more than that. But nevertheless, now the people that stole the batteries aren't really our enemies. They're annoyances, perhaps. Nevertheless, we have a decision to make, don't we? Even more so was that dramatic scene where Jesus was hanging on the cross, and you remember what he said? Forgive them, they do not know what they do. Now, something I didn't notice for years about that. Jesus never said, I forgive you. He asked God to forgive them. It's a big difference. Same thing with Stephen when he was stoned. He's quoted as looking up into heaven just before he died and asking God to forgive them. That's a little bit of a comfort to me. It's I can ask God to forgive people that I cannot forgive just yet. Paying forward, I think, applies in every single one of life's decisions, and there are so many. Will we react with generosity or with self-protection? And sometimes there's a good case to be made for self-protection. And those things aren't always exclusive, but they can be. Will we make a decision that pushes things in the direction of gladness and hope, or a continuing cycle of despair and brokenness? Will we, in the midst of some of life's most troubling situations, find the grace to make a decision that pushes toward release and freedom? Or will it be one that is bound up with resentment and struggle? You know what's going on in Missouri in these last days. And far be it for me to prescribe to anybody what they ought to do in such difficult situations. But the general concept I would offer, to the extent that they are willing to do it and can find a way to do it, and especially to the followers of Jesus, find some way in the midst of all of that violence and pain and frustration to make decisions that will pay forward in some way. Joseph decided that he would not make a part of his life story, "I was sold into slavery by those horrible older brothers of mine." No, he decided that he wanted his life story to be, "Wow, I succeeded. I rose through the ranks, made it to a powerful position, and thank God I was able to save some lives." That's paying forward. I'm in the middle of all kinds of decisions, as you can imagine, as I prepare for this next chapter of my life. And I'm not at all sure that every decision I make will be one about paying forward. I've already bumped up against some things that haven't been just the way I would have liked them. But I'm praying for that grace. This congregation will be called on again and again and again to make decisions, either to pay back or to pay forward. Very shortly, the church council will be about the business of selecting an interim minister. What kind of an interim minister do you think they ought to choose? They might be one just like me. Scary, yes. As unlikely as that may sound to you, I think that would actually be a decision to pay back, not to pay forward. I'll let you wrestle with that one. All over the world today, there are men and women, and especially children, facing unspeakable brutality and even death, and often because of what they believe and how they practice their lives. So I'm going to leave you with these words from Vernon Brewer, an executive with World Help, an organization, among others, that is on the ground in Iraq among Christians whose lives have become increasingly desperate. If ever there was a situation in which we might expect words of anger or retaliation or revenge, payback in other words, that's a situation. But instead, these are his words: "Evil must be overcome with good. Hate can only be overcome with love. Scarcity can only be overcome with generosity. Fear can only be overcome with faith. Pay forward. May it be so. Onward. Amen.